Hello, everybody out there. This is On the Box of the Geek Show Podcast Network.
Yes, well done. You have introduced the show.
Yes, but you forgot to introduce us.
Yeah. Wow. Where'd just start again, please?
No, we're keeping that in.
Where'd just the voices in his head?
I'm back. And I just forget the
and
rules.
Proud.
I come back thinking I'm all good, and then I just forget the rules.
Yes. He turned up in a Skoda instead. That was bad. I'll admit that was bad.
Please not mention that.
Anyway, that was Owen who welcomed us in. Rob, who made a bad, terrible, awful joke.
Yeah, it was horrible.
And that's Andy that's talking about.
No, that's Andy. That's Andy who's award-winning.
Yes, that's our award-winning hosts. Yes.
We are joined by Rob, Andrew, and Andy, and of course, my good self.
Yes.
Yep, so just before we start, we will do the blurb. Just want to say that if you like our shows, you can help us out by donating to our GoFundMe page.
Or sharing it around.
Yes, or sharing it around. Give it to other people who can give us lovely money.
Every little helps.
Yep.
Or we turn to Tesco.
Yes, we are Tesco now.
We have to save that unnamed supermarket.
With a red name and blue background.
Yes. But like that market, we do have lots of lovely, interesting items for sale. You can go to our website, geekshow.co.uk, click on the Geek Shop. We have cool caps and t-shirts. You can also find some of our shows there, or on Mixcloud, on the YouTubes, which I've contracted the YouTubes. I can only say it like that now, just like Rob. We are also on nearly iTunes, I think.
Yep, we're nearly on iTunes.
And coming soon to Stitcher as well.
Yes. And various others.
Yes, we're all over the internet.
We are infecting the internet slowly.
Just hiding in all the scary dark corners.
Please don't.
Anyway, let's get on with the show.
Right, so who's got the first story for us?
I think it's me.
Yes, it is.
That's ruining our whole synergy with the getting different people to do different bits.
Yes, it is.
Anyway, so I've got some exciting news. Bento Box Entertainment has announced plans to develop a Blues Brothers animated series.
Okay.
Apparently, it's a project that's been in the works for quite a few years. It's written by Judy Belushi and Anne Beats, who are former Saturday Night Live writers. And I think Judy Belushi even worked on the Blues Brothers film.
I was going to say,
one, the old one or the new one?
The original one.
Oh, good.
The good one.
So
not the one with John Goodman.
Yeah, she is John Belushi's, was John Belushi's wife.
Okay. I'm curious. I mean, there seems to be this weird fascination with Blues Brothers, but...
Well, because Blues Brothers is awesome.
Yeah, I know, but it's just kind of... My main concern with doing an animated series for the Blues Brothers is that it's going to end up like the Mr. Bean TV series.
Yes.
I actually quite like the Mr. Bean TV series.
No, I mean the animated series.
Yeah, I like the animated series.
You like it?
Well, it was quite funny, wasn't it?
I mean, admittedly, that was more of a kids' show.
Yeah.
And I assume, especially if this has got Saturday Night Live writers behind it, this will be aimed at a more adult audience.
Yeah.
I have one question. Is Dan Aykroyd doing this?
Probably not.
Yeah. Yes, he is.
Is he?
Yeah, he's involved as well.
At least they got one Blues Brother.
Thing is, though, they made an animation of films before. Men in Black, for example. And that didn't go...
Yeah, it wasn't
whoa,
very...
Whoa, whoa, whoa. The Men in Black cartoon was the best.
It was, but that was before the film, wasn't it?
No, it must have been the same time.
After the first film, I think, but before the second one, and it all went downhill.
I forget how old the first film is.
Andrew must have been about one, because he found it good.
Yeah,
what's wrong with the Men in Black cartoon series? It was awesome.
It was really good.
It wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
Okay,
it's bitter and dead inside, Rob. That's your problem.
Yes,
when,
I know.
When you're a kid, everything is seen through rose-tinted spectacles. Well, at least what I was, at least.
Did you have some of those weird Elton John specs from the 70s? Are you ready for love?
No, but I'd have gotten beaten up if I had.
Just the star-shaped ones with the pink lenses.
Oh, the bullies would have loved that.
I think it's going to be a long, long time before the beating stops.
Yeah. Can you feel my fist in your face?
I'm glad you said that.
I was running a very different place. Oh, dear.
I was worried where that was going. I mean that quite literally. Anyway.
Yes. Let's check the PG. Move on.
Yes. Back to the Blues Brothers.
I don't know. I mean, I'm hoping this will be good. Because obviously the original film was great, and then the sequel film was not in any way, shape, or form great.
No, it wasn't.
I mean, hopefully, because they've got, you know, people who worked on the original film.
Yeah.
They'll hopefully be able to, like, recapture some of the magic of the first one.
Didn't they try that with Blues Brothers 2000, and it wasn't
as
good?
That's the sequel I'm talking about, the not good one.
Although, wasn't it John Goodman
in that?
Yeah, I think it was.
And some kid that was with them all the time, which I found a bit weird.
Yeah. For maybe the problem with that was that they're trying to replace John Belushi.
He's not one that can be replaced, though. I mean...
Well, because, I don't know, because apparently according to this, it is going to be The Adventures of Jake and Elwood Blues, so...
Okay.
I'd assume they're going to find someone to voice Jake.
Hmm.
Sounds...
Question would be who... Is John Belushi's brother still around?
James Belushi?
Yeah.
Yeah, but, well, I think so.
Let's find out.
Sounds quite okay, though. It's something which might add that what is needed in animation at the minute, because you've got no... It's either adult comedy type or kids at the minute.
I think there's some grey areas.
Don't get what you're talking about.
I think you talk about like animation in general. There's either adult or kid.
There's the gap in the market for it.
Not really, because...
I think this is going to appeal to a more adult market.
Yeah.
I mean, Blues Brothers, the film, is like, it's a 15.
I mean, I suppose I could kind of see where you come from. There is not a lot in the mid-range. I mean, it was mainly Star Wars, Clone Wars that filled that, and I think Rebels is trying to take that on, but that's not got a long life left. So, but because... Blues Brothers is primarily an 80s thing. It will appeal more to people that kind of watched it at that time.
That's a good point.
I don't know, because you do have a point, but there are a lot of people who like the original Blues Brothers movie just because it's a fun movie.
Yeah, I think there are figures that have endured in pop culture since then, so there's still probably quite a good market for it.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, that's true. I mean, my dad introduced it to me, so I think there will be that point where the generation has introduced it to the next one and
so on and so forth.
Yeah.
One of those movies, just like Labyrinth and The Dark Crystal and things like that.
It's like a pass down through the generations.
Yes, they're handed down as symbols of just what entertainment can be.
As long as at least at one point there's a massive car chase, like 150 cars chasing two guys.
And all of them kind of skid off the road.
Do you know...
This is car 55. We're in a truck.
Do you know do you remember the original Driver game on the PlayStation 1? Does anyone remember it? Right. There was a survival mode on there, right?
And yes.
The survival mode at times reminded me exactly of that scene from the Blues Brothers. And there was one time I was basically going down the hill in San Francisco. You know the one where they do all the jumping?
Yeah.
Right. I'm going down that hill, and I've just jumped off, and there's literally a tidal wave of police cars. I mean, an actual tidal wave of police cars just chasing me.
It's funny you should mention that, because Driver 3
had
a movie mode.
Yeah.
So it would take like certain scenes from Movie Space in San Francisco and let you do them. So there was like the bullet chase, the beginning of Cannonball Run, and Blues Brothers police chase to get to...
See, that'd be interesting.
Yeah. See, that was in it. And, and you actually had the car, the Dodge Monaco, the proper Bluesmobile. So it's definitely one of the most iconic movie scenes, that whole police chase.
Okay, so shall we move on?
We shall, yes.
To science fiction.
Yay!
Science fiction is always a good place for the Geek Show Podcast Network to head over.
Because we're shameless nerds.
Yes, we are. But... this show is apparently going to be set 300 years in the future, and it's going to tell the story of Orville, the not-so-top-of-the-line exploratory ship in Earth's interstellar fleet. it's a science fiction series that's straight to order. It's straight to series, no pilot. It's 13 episodes. It's a drama comedy or dramedy. Please stop mashing words together. Yeah. And it's by Seth MacFarlane.
They must have just seen Seth MacFarlane walk and just saw dollar signs, right? Well, just give him what you want.
Must have some confidence in him. We've just seen him go, science fiction script, let's give him the full.
Considering they cancelled Family Guy like 2-3 times.
Well, I kind of understand why they've given a green light straight away. And there's two reasons. Well, three reasons. Number one is Family Guy. Number two is American Dad. And number three is Rick and Morty.
Rick and Morty.
Yeah, very Rick and Morty is good.
Yeah.
No, what I'm saying is the success of Rick and Morty has made them start looking at science fiction kind of drama comedy as a potential audience-winning thing. And if they want to do drama comedy, they can do the drama. They're pretty solid on the drama, but it's the comedy part they have trouble with. So who would you get? Seth MacFarlane. Who else?
He's the big name.
Seth MacFarlane has problems on the comedy front.
Yes, I know.
Family Guy seems to be... Isn't Family Guy kind of dying a slow death?
My point wasn't that. My point was going to be, this is a country that believes, and then insert whatever you want at the end of that sentence.
That's a good point.
Well, this is a country in which Donald Trump is like a legitimate presidential candidate now.
Yes.
This is my problem with Seth MacFarlane, that I think he's actually quite talented, but he's got to this point where people are just giving him TV shows without pilots. And doesn't films. Have to work for stuff.
And films.
No, yeah, this is his idea.
Yeah, but I mean, he doesn't have to work
the money,
to keep the series fresh and original.
Yeah.
He can just keep churning out stuff.
But then again, sorry.
I'm quite interested to see him doing something that's away from the Family Guy universe.
Well, it's kind of what I was going to say. It's weird, this, and you've got to stop it. Get out my head.
But it's comfortable.
It's my armchair in my brain. Anyway, what I was going to say was, maybe this is what he's actually been wanting to do. The reason why I'm kind of hopeful for it is because he's been doing Family Guy and American Dad for so long, and they've basically kind of compartmentalized him into that. That's what he does. But you can tell he's kind of getting sick of it.
He said in the past that he wanted Family Guy to end as a series and maybe do occasional movies.
He just wants out of it, so I think that this may be what he's been looking for.
Okay, yeah, because Seth MacFarlane working on something that he's genuinely passionate about, that could be very interesting.
And that's why I've got some hope for it.
Yeah, he is a fair big sci-fi fan. He's had, I think it was...
Oh, he's not just a sci-fi fan. He's a nerd.
Yeah.
He is one of us.
He was in Star Trek. He was in Star Trek about twice, wasn't he?
Yes. He is categorically one of us.
Hasn't he done, like, Family Guy sci-fi specials and stuff, though, as well? Like,
yeah, because he loves sci-fi.
Yeah. The Star Wars series, of course.
Not just the Star Wars series. I'm sorry. But Peter Griffin and William Shatner frolicking in the rain.
Did you watch that last night as well?
No.
Oh, because I watched that one as well.
I feel so free.
That one was on last night. Weird.
I think the real reason he's going to sci-fi, though, now, I don't think he wants to get asked to do those voices anymore in interviews he has on the TV.
He's probably sick of them.
Yeah. He's been basically doing that voice ever since he was in college. Like, if you watch his earliest animation, he did that kind of voice for a different character, and he's just been using it for years.
Did it in Ted for the fish.
Yep.
Anyway,
so what's next?
Well, Ryan Murphy is going to be working on another series.
Okay.
He's the guy behind American Horror Story and now American Crime Story. So he's got yet another anthology series. This one's called Feud, which I'm very disappointed it's not called American Feud Story.
No, because if they call it American Feud Story, then you just expect to see hillbillies. Lots and lots of hillbillies.
You have to see where Andrew's coming from there, though. American Story can go anywhere in America.
American Feud Story. American Bicycle Story. American Shopping Story. American Marriage Story. American Green Card Story.
American Ridiculously Successful Writers Story.
Yes.
So yeah, Feud, it's going to be in the same vein as American Crime Story. So it's going to feature kind of a series, each series devoted to a new real-life case. And series one is apparently going to be the feud between Joan Crawford and Bette Davis.
Ooh, they hated each other
they
as well.
They did. So that could be interesting. And looking at this cast list, you've got Susan Sarandon as Bette Davis and Jessica Good Lang choice. Is going to be Joan Crawford.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's going to be great. Susan Sarandon versus Jessica Lang. That's like celebrity deathmatch just waiting to happen.
Yeah.
No, seriously. Susan Sarandon is... what really can she put out as a character piece in Celebrity Deathmatch? Jessica Lang has all sorts, doesn't she?
Yeah. Well, like, I was very devastated that she wasn't in the most recent American Horror Story.
Yeah.
So it's going to be so amazing to see her back. Plus, I've got kind of the rest of the cast. We've got Alfred Molina,
ooh,
Judy Davis, Dominic Burgess, and Stanley Tucci.
Stanley Tucci.
Tucci.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's touchy-feely.
Yeah. He's touchy about the Tucci.
Yes. I'm glad you said Tucci and not Tushy. This is going to get confusing.
Yeah, anyway, this sounds like a very interesting TV series.
It's got a good cast.
Yeah, yeah.
It's got a very good cast. I wonder who's going to be the next feud. I'm just trying to think of famous feuds. Joan Crawford, Bette Midler is legendary. They really hated each other.
Yeah.
Seriously, they could not stand to even be in the same room as each other.
Now, this would be a good talking point.
Well, it doesn't just have to be celebrity. It could just be like a really well-known feud, like the Clantons versus the Earps?
Yeah, it could be something like that.
Yeah. Okay, I don't understand this one. I've just come up with famous feuds, right? And one of them is just called Blues versus Greens in the Byzantine Empire.
Yes, that series
that
too.
That series.
Just, what? Blues versus Greens? They didn't even have a name. They just called them Blue and Green.
They were locked forever in a bitter game of Capture the Flag.
Yeah, that's all I've got. That's thrown me for a loop. Yeah.
How about Justin Bieber versus Massive Submachine Gun?
No.
Well, no. That's not really a feud. That's a hope. Stalin versus Trotsky.
That's clearly going to be Kanye West and Taylor Swift, guys.
Yeah.
That's an epic that deserves like several TV series.
Al Capone versus Bugs Moran.
Oh, I was going to say Bugs Bunny.
No. Al Capone versus Bugs Moran. They basically controlled the Chicago underworld between the two of them.
Yeah. Like, I can just see that done in, like, that American Horror Story very swish, swanky style.
Yeah.
Ooh, and that'll be a good show.
One of the most famous of the Old West conflicts or feuds was the Hatfields versus the McCoys.
Yeah, see, so I think that's what I like about this, is there's a lot of different ways it could go.
Yeah. When you look at feuds, you actually come up with a lot of them, and Hatfields versus McCoys is going to be like the hillbilly one that I mentioned.
Yes.
You just know it. Anyway, what's left in the news? Anything else?
Yeah, I've just got a little story. I think a couple of weeks ago we talked about The Mist getting a TV series.
Yes.
So we've just learned who's going to direct the pilot episode. It's going to be Adam Bernstein.
Really?
Yeah, who the name's probably not familiar to lots of people, but he has basically directed the pilots for stuff like Fargo, 30 Rock, Scrubs. He's done some work on Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad.
Cool.
So he has got like a pretty extensive resume.
Yeah, some good names to have on your little CV, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
That's what the pilots he's done for as well. I mean, particularly Scrubs, that ran for years. I mean, Fargo's still going after a couple of years.
Yeah, plus Fargo is like one of the most critical darlings of the modern day. But more importantly, he has also directed several music videos, including Love Shack for the B-52s, Hey Ladies for the Beastie Boys, and Sir Mix-a-Lot's, quite frankly, classic Baby's Got Back.
Right, I'm sold. This guy's he's the one we need to start this show off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Makes you think, though, with his experience, which show do you think he's going to use as inspiration?
It better be the Baby Got Back.
I was about to say, Right. So was that the news then?
That was the news.
All right. We're going to take a very quick break there, and we'll be back in a few moments.
The world of comics and manga are much, much more complex than I'll ever know. So tune in to 4Panel on the Geek Show Podcast Network to make that whole world a little less intimidating.
Hi everyone and welcome back. And now we're going to be taking a look at what we've been watching. So guys, what have you been watching?
Well, my dear friend Rob, have I got news for you? Back on our screens.
More Paul Merton.
Yes, more Paul Merton, more Hislop as well.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Hislop. No. Merton, yes, Hislop.
Merton is hilarious.
See, I don't mind Hislop when he's with Merton, I think.
Yeah,
I think
when
they play off
himself.
Each other nicely.
Well, yeah. They've been doing that for about 20 years now, haven't they? So they've kind of worked.
Has it really been 20 years?
It's been over 20 years.
Yeah, wow. Cox started in like the 90s, didn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's been on a wow. long time.
Yes, Rob.
It's got to be. I think one of BBC's longest running shows.
Yes.
So yes, Have a Good News for You has been doing what it's been doing, what it does best, teetering on that fine line between comedy and libelous comments, which it does spectacularly well. Lawyers are always on the pulse, ready to.
Yeah, BBC. It is actually true. BBC has like several lawyers. Monitoring, Have I Got News for You?
it's an entire subdivision devoted to that one show.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's because, number one, Ian Hislop is the editor of Private Eye.
Yeah.
Which is the, you know, satirical magazine when it comes to high society and politics in the UK. And number two, Paul Merton is Paul Merton.
Yes.
That's all I need to say. Oh, and the producers of Have I Got News for You, they're pretty much in a job for life, so they don't actually care.
No. But you see, I like when they kind of recognise that they're kind of on the edge, because like Paul Merton will just go, oh, I think the lawyer's just woken up with that comment.
It's probably because someone said in his earpiece, watch what you're saying, please.
I never thought, Have I Got News for You is recorded as well, so.
It's amazing if that's what they leave in, just exactly what have they cut out.
Oh. How about they just do a live version?
They do
live.
They did. Have I Got a Bit More News for You?
Yeah, which is more of the content left in.
Yeah, it's really good. It's like, I think about another 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's usually about another 10, 15 minutes, but that one was a lot more of an eye opener when you saw some of the stuff that they actually took out of the normal broadcast.
Oh, it's always.
And you just kind of go, okay, I can see why you removed that.
I was kind of of the opinion that when Have I Got News for You came out, I would just wait for the longer version because I didn't see the point of watching it twice.
I started doing that as well.
Yeah, just wait for Have I Got a Bit More News for You.
Yeah.
They did that with a lot, though, didn't they? They did Room 101. And,
what, they had a longer version of Room 101?
Yeah, they had about another round.
Oh, yeah, it was called, Extra Storage, isn't it?
Yeah,
something like that. But it's been, they've even done it with interview shows now, where you've got the normal one during the week, and then you've got one like Saturday or Sunday where it's an extra 20 minutes.
Yeah. Sorry, I was getting confused when you said that they had a longer Room 101.
Knocked out an extension.
Get the contractors in.
I was just really confused by that. That's why I stopped in the middle of it. I was trying to work out the logistics of making a room that doesn't actually exist longer.
I suppose it's one way of getting British builders into Room 101.
True. But anyway, Have I Got News for You?
Yes. It's been out for, I think it's on episode 4 now, so it's been out for a month. And obviously we are well aware of what the political climate has been like over the past month. So I think it's quite appropriate that it is currently out. And it's quite surprising there have been no class action lawsuits against them yet or any injunctions.
That's because all the news has been busy with the anti-Semitism thing that's going on in Labour. And all of the other political news seems to have been buried. BBC looking pointedly at you for ignoring the bigger story that wasn't Labour's anti-Semitism thing, but was actually the supposed election fraud thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, who's got time to talk about a little bit of election fraud here and there.
No, we're not talking about it either. No. Anyway.
But yeah, I think, yeah, How I Got News for You came out just in the wake of the whole tax fraud scandal and...
What tax fraud scandal?
I think it was in the Virgin Islands, I think.
See, I...
Oh, do you mean the Panama Papers?
Oh, yeah, the Panama Papers.
Yeah, okay. See, when I get confused even more when they talk about the Virgin Islands, because automatically I'm thinking Branson.
Yeah, I do that as well. Branson's secret lair.
See, if Branson doesn't own an island in the Virgin Islands, there's something wrong.
He's missed a trick there.
There's no renaming rights.
Yeah. There's no what?
There's no renaming rights there needed.
Yeah.
He spends all his time trying to go to space. We could just quite happily just buy an island.
He did. He has an island.
Oh, he does, yeah. Is it in the Virgin Islands?
I don't know.
Then there's a problem.
No, I imagine it's like some giant undersea fortress hidden beneath the Virgin Islands.
And he just takes his face off and he's actually Scorpio. Anyway, he's going to seize the eastern seaboard. Anyway.
Yeah. So far, I've Got News For You has had its usual plethora of really good... Horse was Joe Brand, host of the last one. She's always quite funny. Victoria Corrin. She's a respectable horse.
I watched that one and she's all right, but I don't know. I just don't feel that she fits as a host. As a guest, she's fine.
Better as a guest.
But I don't think she works as a host.
No.
Yeah.
Unless it's only Connect, which we're used to seeing.
No, she works as a host on her own show. But yeah. As a guest on Have I Got News For You, she's... better as a contender.
Kind of leaves it more for Merton and his lot. But we need a horse that kind of plays off them both that isn't Angus Deaton.
Ramesh Ranganathan. Let's go the whole hog.
Why not?
Ramesh Ranganathan, there you go. I mean, he had a show called Asian Provocateur.
Which is the best name for a show.
it's a risky name, but it's... still a really good show.
But I think Ramesh Ranganathan would be perfect.
He would. He's always really good on that.
Well, let's put it this way. He used to be a teacher.
Yes.
Right? He's very, very intelligent. And he's got that really laid back, I don't care attitude.
Yeah. He's always really good.
Which makes him perfect for the host of Have I Got News For You.
He is always really good as a guest, particularly more when he's sat next to Ian Hislop.
Yes.
Because they're always brilliant together. Because...
They do make a really good double act, don't they?
Yeah, it's weird, but there you go.
It's very, very odd. I'd like to see... they should take that routine on stage.
Yes.
I think they'd make some money.
That would be brilliant. Though I'm watching Have I Got News For You carefully. I'm just wondering, are they going to bring back Jeremy Clarkson? Because they did have him host one after he was sacked.
Yeah, they probably will do.
Because it was already planned.
No, they probably will do because it's Clarkson and he's going to be, he's on Top Gear.
Yeah.
And they're paying him to be on Top Gear, the show that they fired him from.
Yep.
So that's not going to come up in conversation at all.
No.
Oh, God. I hope this means we're not going to see Chris Evans on Have I Got News For You.
Oh, God.
No. Probably what we're going to see is the star in a reasonably priced car is going to be Jeremy Clarkson.
The first guest.
No, Jeremy Clarkson is secretly the Stig.
No, because we actually would know if he was the Stig. Because number one, there's the belly.
Yeah.
That's true.
And number two, he's addicted to denim jeans.
he's not just a Stig.
Guess where my new Stig is, and it's just... he's just got the helmet.
Yeah.
It's just Jeremy Clarkson.
Yeah, you'd be able to tell straight away.
No, he's like Tobias from Invested Development. He takes off the suit and it's just like denim shorts underneath.
Yes. Absolutely, yes. Anyway, so, anything else you'd like to say about Have I Got News For You?
If you haven't watched it before, there's not really much to say. I mean, obviously, given the way politics are, today, right now, our current situations, it's a really good show to watch.
Yeah, but I mean, it's been going for almost 30 years, so if you're living in the UK and you haven't heard of it, then you probably just arrived in the UK. Would that be a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think so.
Basically, if you want to know anything about British politics over the past 30 years, watch the first episode and just keep watching.
Yeah,
It's a fair enough assessment.
Actually, if they taught politics in school, the way that Have I Got News For You presents politics, it'd be such a fun subject.
It would be. I would have taken politics if they'd done that.
We might actually raise some honest politicians.
Nah, that's just a pipe
don't
dream.
Be silly, Rob.
That's just a pipe dream.
Okay.
Do anyway. They should do, though?
What?
They should have Dara Brian host an episode just to throw everyone off.
Yes. Yes. It'd be hilarious if they did that, but then you had Paul Merton and Ian Hislop dressed as, the guy from the Megabus. They're both dressed as the yellow guy on the Megabus with the hats.
Blue suit, hat. Oh, yeah, it is a yellow suit. That would be hilarious. I'm surprised nobody has done that on Mock the Week yet.
See, that would be an amazing running gag / meta joke as well.
It's like Huey Dennis's Sepp Blatter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
That spread quite quickly as well after you started it.
It was so funny.
Anyway, so shall we move on to who's next?
Me, I guess.
Okay.
So I have been watching Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt on Netflix.
Ooh.
Oh, it's a sitcom made by Tina Fey and Robert Carlock. Tina Fey is, she's Tina Fey. Everyone knows Tina Fey.
Yeah.
And Robert Carlock is one of the showrunners from 30 Rock.
Okay, so they've worked together.
Yeah, so it's bringing that very 30 Rock charm to the show. So the series, it follows Kimmy Schmidt, who was basically trapped in an underground bunker for 15 years and has now been finally freed and decides to move to New York.
Okay.
And basically there she gets a gay roommate called Titus Andromedon.
What?
Yes.
Titus what?
Titus Andromedon.
I know the show you talk about. It's weird because it's always weird to see a massive black guy that's also really camp.
Yes.
It's so weird.
It's so weird because he's huge and yet flounces. Anyway, and Kimmy gets a job as being basically a housemaid for Jacqueline Voorhees, who is played by Jane Krakowski.
Ah, more 30 Rock.
Yeah. So it's like one big 30 Rock reunion.
Yeah.
Is Baldwin going to be in?
I hope so at some point.
He has to be in.
That would be brilliant.
Make him mayor of New York. That would be amazing.
Yes.
Yes.
So it's great, Kimmy Schmidt. It's so funny. Like, at one point, they're throwing a house party, and Jacqueline thinks her husband is cheating on her with someone called Yuko, but then Yuko turns out to be a Japanese robot toy. But then it turns out she's really good at singing and dancing and everything. So Titus ends up getting really jealous of the robot, throws a glass of water in its face. And then it cuts to later, and just Titus and Jack, they're trying to bury it in the garden, but it comes back online. Like, why are you doing this? I loved you.
Oh, that sounds great.
And I think I've just finished the first series, and they've got a joke, which now that People vs. O.J. Simpson has come out, has become even better.
Yeah.
Because basically the person who trapped Kimmy Schmidt in the bunker is a man called the Reverend Richard Wayne Gary Wayne, played by John Hamm. And he goes on trial. And basically, it turns out the prosecution are just listed as two big shot lawyers who've moved from LA.
Oh, God.
And their names are Marsha and Chris. And it's like, it's obviously Marsha Clark and Chris Darden who were the prosecutors on the O.J. Simpson case. And it's amazing because they're just portrayed as being the worst lawyers.
Yes. Ever.
Like, they don't submit a single thing into it. No, they submit one piece of evidence. And that's a dictionary, because they ask him what the dictionary definition of kidnapping is.
That actually sounds quite clever.
It is. It's such a good show.
I can't really beat that.
No. I'll get one episode has this amazing running gag, because basically Kimmy is in an adult studies group, and one of them is a crazy lady screaming about how the Olsen twins are actually quadruplets. And you just get all the eventually she says it to another member of the group and he goes, oh yeah, that makes so much sense. And it just ends with Jacqueline eventually making some offhand comment about using the money, using the hush money she got from the Olsen quadruplets.
That's really good.
It's so good.
The Olsen quadruplets.
Yes.
That explains what happened to the Olsen twins.
There were four of them.
See, it makes sense. Because it took two of them to play one baby on Full House.
Oh, yeah.
So there must be four of them.
Actually, that logic is really good. It's solid.
Which is great, because that's the reaction everyone on the show has.
It makes sense.
Minds have been blown.
Yes, my mind is officially blown.
Just wait, because if you watch it, you'll also learn the wonder that is Pinot Noir, which is a song Titus makes. It's just him saying a bunch of words that rhyme with Pinot Noir. Like Pinot Noir, caviar, mid-sized car. And then just interjected with him randomly screaming Pinot Noir.
Oh, I'm going to have to watch this properly now.
Oh, yeah, and it takes place outside the two classiest locations in the city,
which
is a strip joint and an abandoned chandelier factory.
What? An abandoned chandelier factory?
Oh, dear. That's just...
Oh, this sounds amazing.
It's so really funny. Like, I pretty much just started watching it just like as a little something in the mornings before I have to go out.
Yeah.
But I'm sitting there with like proper full-on belly laughs.
I think I'm going to have to sit down and watch this because the listeners can't see this, but Andrew has been sitting there with a big stupid grin on his face while he's
I've actually
been
got tears in my eyes
while he's been talking about this.
Jokes.
I'm convinced this is next up for me to watch.
Oh, like I highly recommend it.
Add it to the Netflix list.
How does it compare with 30 Rock? Because I love 30 Rock. Is it better? Is it worse? Is it just different?
I'd say it's very different. I would probably like put it on par with like some of the early seasons of 30 Rock.
Really?
Yeah, like definitely.
I'm sold.
Wow, then.
I haven't seen the smile that you've got on your face since you were talking about your Daredevil.
Oh, or your other Marvel.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, it has.
Agent Carter season one, that was a big stupid grin as well, because at that point we knew Peggy Carter is his waifu.
No, I'll have you find I am Peggy Carter's waifu, because that's how she rolls.
Yes.
Don't tell the captain about this.
Anyway.
But yeah, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt has been put in that same kind of special place in my heart.
Okay, well, I caught something last night, and I usually try and avoid Gareth Malone does all the choir things.
Ah, yes.
Right. Well, he's got a new one because they've got this Invictus Games thing coming up, which is the athletics events or the collection of athletics events like the Olympics, but it's specifically for former servicemen and women who have been injured either mentally or physically. And it's for them. It's a games that basically for them to take part in. And I think there's 14 countries taking part in it this year. And so it's only the second year as well, which is strange because it's really starting to spark a movement in quite a few countries. And so they wanted to put together something special for the opening of the event. And so they approached Gareth Malone and said, can you make a choir? And he said, okay. So he's basically got this disparate group of former servicemen and women from different branches of the military. And some of them are missing limbs. Some of them, one of them is, he got to a fairly decent rank in the army, but he suffered a brain injury and he has difficulty concentrating on things. And, you know, it's affected his memory and various things like that. And so he has to keep taking breaks so he can just settle his nerves because he has difficulty multitasking now. And there's a woman who, you know, she ended up really just becoming so depressed because of PTSD. She was sleeping rough and drinking constantly. And she's, you know, kind of come back from that. But it's strange, these programs, when you get right down to them, because you don't expect much from them going in. You think, oh, it's just another one of those choir things. I've seen some of Gareth Malone's choir stuff before. And it's very, I wouldn't say twee, but there hasn't really been much of a purpose other than we're doing it because we can.
Yeah.
But this one, actually, from the moment you start watching it, feels very, very different because the people involved, it's not just what they were, but how they've ended up. And, you know, one of the people in the choir, one of the guys in the choir is blind because, and this is a joke, because they show you highlights at the end of the episode. He makes this comment in response to something that Gareth says. Gareth's trying to egg him on, and he says something about carrying your rifles forward. And the guy just pipes up from the background, "Last time I was carrying a rifle, I blew up." And everybody starts creasing. And these are all people who've been through some horrible, horrible situations. And they're just creasing up because they've never met each other before. You know, they've all been in different branches of the military. They've all been in different regiments and different, you know, and posted in different parts of the world. But just by doing the choir, just by singing, they seem to have formed this bond with each other, which is really interesting to see. You know, just the how they're helping each other out. But putting together a choir of disparate people is not an easy job, especially when none of them really, most of them, I should say, don't really have much in the way of musical talent. And Gareth has managed, what he managed to do in this, he managed to find some interesting approaches to settle people's nerves. One of them was simply by taking them out and, you know, letting them do karaoke. Surprisingly effective.
Yeah, that's actually a really good idea.
Yeah.
You know, because they're in an environment they're comfortable with. Everybody else is singing, you know. They just get up on stage in front of everybody, start singing away. Yeah, after that, what's left to be worried with the choir?
Yeah, because you've basically already done it.
Exactly. And you can see the progression with the people in the choir over the course of the episode. There is another episode of this that'll be out. But over the course of this episode, you saw the progression of the choir, culminating in them giving a performance of the song that they were doing, which is unfortunately a One Direction song, but the lyrics for it actually fit with the whole idea of the Invictus Games. But the song is still a One Direction song, and I was just there's a part of my brain that's kind of going, it's One Direction, though. I shouldn't like it, but the song makes sense, and I understand from the words that it makes sense, but One Direction. That's not the program's fault.
No.
That's just my mind rebelling.
It's One Direction's fault.
That's just my mind rebelling from the fact that it's a One Direction song, and I'm duty-bound as a 40-year-old man not to like it.
It sounds like a really good...
It's very interesting because the final performance, they basically had the band of the Coldstream Guards playing the music from that One Direction song and them singing in front of the athletes who were going to be taking part in the Invictus Games and their families who come along for support and in front of other people from, you know, the military who are making sure that things progress and that the various branches of the military and the government and whoever else is involved. And so you've got all of these former servicemen and women on stage, and they're all smartly dressed, and they've all got the medals with them. And for some of them, that performance was the first time since they left the military that they put their medals on, because of what the medals that they got because of what they represented. And one of them, the blind guy, he actually says, you know, when I put on these medals, when I put on this uniform, I'm not just representing myself. I'm representing all the people who I went there with who didn't come back, you know, all my friends that I left behind. And that's, you know, it's got that emotional hook to it.
Quite sobering.
It's a sobering thought. They give a really good performance. You know, there's athletes who are taking part in the games who are in tears because these people aren't athletes. They've just come together. They've only known each other for literally a couple of weeks, and they've had very little in the way of musical education, and yet they're giving that performance. And then after that is the big performance over in America, where they will actually sing that song to launch the games.
Wow.
Huh?
It's an interesting one. It is a bit melodramatic, I will admit, but then again, you're dealing with such a heavy subject in the first place. It's difficult for it not to be. You know, it's difficult to kind of keep it all light. But in general, I actually quite enjoyed it. I'll be honest, I'm not really a fan of Gareth Malone's choir things, but this one was very, very interesting.
He's done things oriented around the troops, but hasn't he? He had, wasn't it the Soldiers' Wives Choir?
Yeah, he had the Soldiers' Wives Choir and stuff like that, but this is the first time he's actually had people who... I mean, what you've got to understand is these former servicemen and women, It's not just the physical disabilities that they have. It's the mental issues that they have as well.
Yeah.
You know, and so he's up against a lot of things to try and get them ready for this performance.
Yeah, for a lot of them, it's a lot more than just stage fright.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the women was literally, she was terrified of getting up on stage. And you could see when he told them the day before that they were going to be performing for the athletes, she started shaking. And that's pure PTSD.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's not because of simple nerves. That was literally because of the after effects of combat. So, yeah, pretty interesting and pretty powerful stuff.
Yeah, definitely worth a watch. Definitely.
And, like, these are in something like that, what's actually helping these people.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, one of the women, you know, she used to play the piano and she used to sing before she went off. And her memories of that, and she was talking quite frankly about the stuff that she went through. And for her, it was pure PTSD. And she was talking about these kids who saw them as like a beacon of hope and how entire villages were basically being wiped out. You know, men, women, children, some of them that she'd literally maybe met the day before. And the guilt from that was what drove her to sleep rough and start drinking heavily.
Yeah.
And she hadn't sung or played the piano in years after that. And so joining the choir was literally the first time she'd sang anything since she left the military.
Many might see the war's over, but the effects are still
there,
clear as day.
Anyway, moving on.
Yes, I think it's time for our final bit now, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And BAFTAs.
Yes, BAFTAs. Yes. They are this Sunday, May the 8th, which is not going to be this Sunday by the time the show goes out, is it?
No.
It's this Sunday if you then listen to the show and then travel back in time to May the 6th when we're recording this.
May the 8th be with you.
It's backwards time travel. Let's call it that.
No, it isn't. I've seen that episode of Red Dwarf. I know the truth.
Actually, did you see that online where it was like, May the 4th be with you? But then someone suggested, so does that mean the next day is Revenge of the 5th?
Oh, that's brilliant.
No, because it would be Revenge of the 6th.
No, that would have been, no, just fair, that would.
Yeah, but it would. Yeah, anyway, BAFTAs, May the 8th, we have got a list of nominations. So, should we start going through them?
Yeah.
Let's start with Entertainment Programme. So, Entertainment Programme nominations for that are Adele at the BBC, Britain's Got Talent, Strictly Come Dancing, and the TFI Friday Anniversary Special.
Why?
Hang on. Those were the nominations for Best Entertainment.
Entertainment Programme.
Okay, what? Right.
Okay, I'm already lost faith in the BAFTAs.
Well, it's okay, because the nominations for Best Entertainment Performance will restore them. Because we've got Stephen Fry for QI, we've got Graham Norton for his show, we've got Ramesh Ranganathan for Asian Provocateur.
Okay, that's
yes.
And we've got Lee Francis for Celebrity Juice.
Lee Francis for Celebrity Juice.
I didn't say that.
Keith Lemon, isn't it?
Please don't.
Anyway, for leading actor, we've got... Why do you keep scrolling down, Paige? That doesn't help me. For leading actor, we've got Idris Elba for Luther, Stephen Graham for This Is England 90, Mark Rylance for Wolf Hall, and Ben Whishaw for London Spy.
I think you could see Idris Elba there.
Yeah, I'd give it to Idris Elba.
Yeah.
He is rad.
Yeah.
And apparently Wolf Hall was like one of the most boring things I've ever seen.
Yes, the cod pieces were the wrong size.
Exactly, inaccurate cod pieces. It's an outrage. So, leading actress, we have Claire Foy, also for Wolf Hall.
Okay.
Ruth Madeley for Don't Take My Baby, which I'm sure is a very serious thing, but like it rhymes and so it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Saran Jones for Dr. Foster, and Sheridan Smith for The C Word.
I'd go with Saran Jones for Dr. Foster.
That has been acclaimed a lot, hasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't a fan of the series, but her performance was really good, wasn't it?
Yeah. So,
then
isn't there a sporting actor next, is it?
No, I've got drama series next.
Do you want me to do supporting actor?
Yeah, you can do supporting actor.
Okay, I'll do supporting actor and actress then. So, best supporting actor, the nominations are Anton Lesser for Wolf Hall.
Stop it, Wolf Hall. Stop it.
The nominations.
Yeah, but, I mean, his surname is Lesser. Cyril Nri for Cucumber, Ian McKellen for The Dresser, and Tom Courtney for Unforgotten. Ian McKellen.
Yeah.
Just always Ian McKellen.
It's Ian McKellen, isn't it? So that's almost not fair to the nominees.
Exactly. Best Supporting Actress is... The nominations are Chanel Cresswell for This Is England 90, Eleanor Worthington Cox for The Enfield Haunting.
Oh, that's a middle-class name if I've ever heard one.
Yeah. Leslie Manville for River. Yes. Yes, Leslie Manville was great in River. And Michelle Gomez for Doctor Who.
No, Michelle bloody Gomez in Doctor Who.
She's... Well, they couldn't really call her the mistress because that has too many bondage overtones in that one.
It's a bit too kinky for 7 o'clock on Saturday evening.
Missy, I think, works. Missy.
Yes.
Can I say, though, as well, on these lists we're looking at, I don't know if it's on yours, Andrew, it's great to notice BBC are dominating this.
Yeah, BBC are kicking ass and taking names.
Yeah, but, you know... All I can say to that is, it doesn't really make BBC any better.
Which makes everyone else worse.
Got more shows.
Anyway, do you want female and male performances next, or do you want to go to drama?
Drama, I think.
Okay.
Because we've got The Last Panthers, No Offence, and Wolf Hall, which don't matter, because obviously what's going to win is Humans.
Yes.
Because freaking Humans was amazing.
Oh, God, yes.
And shall we go to miniseries? Oh, God, I do not like this BAFTA.
I really like the way Alex and Ada ended, by the way.
Yeah, it was such a good ending, wasn't it?
Yes, yes, it was.
All right, miniseries is Dr. Foster, Enfield Haunting, London Spy, and This Is England 90.
That's a tough one. The Enfield Haunting got some really good comments, but there were some people who didn't like it, and I think that's the same for all of them. They all had some really good receptions, but again, there were still people who actually didn't like them, and the reasons why they didn't like them were perfectly valid. So that's a tough one to call.
I think looking at this, what I'm getting a bit worried about is it seems very small, the selection of shows that are actually up for BAFTAs.
Yep.
It's like all the awards, though. You get the same, it's critics.
Critics. What do they know?
So... Do you want female and male performance?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so best female performance in a comedy program. Yeah, I know, in a comedy program and not in a real program. Was Michaela Cole for Chewing Gum, Miranda Hart for Miranda, Sian Gibson for Peter Kay's Car Share, and Sharon Horgan for Catastrophe. Why does Miranda Hart keep getting nominated for Miranda?
Because it's very popular.
Why is it popular?
That's a good question.
It was the last show. I think it wasn't it the last series last year?
Yeah, the series is finished.
Okay.
See, I want to maybe give it to Carshare.
I think Carshare.
Something to Carshare, because that was very
funny. That was a unique show. That was quite funny.
Yeah. Best male performance in a comedy program? Hugh Bonneville for W1A. Javon Prince for the Javon Prince show. Peter Kay for Peter Kay's Car Share. And this is the one that should win. If he doesn't win, then you can all go to hell. Toby Jones for the Detectorists.
You have talked about your love of Detectorists before.
Toby Jones is amazing. And
Toby Jones is amazing.
He is eminently weird and strange and just odd in Detectorists.
I feel like maybe we should put him in like the Ian McKellen category of he's nominated. Everyone else can go home then.
Yes. Yes. He is in that category.
Yeah, shall we do comedy and comedy entertainment program?
Yes.
So we've got Charlie Booker's Election Wipe, Have I Got News For You, QI, and Would I Lie To You?
Do you know, just once, I'm going to say Would I Lie To You?
I'd like that.
Why the hell not?
Has it won before?
No.
Oh, yeah, I think it definitely deserves a win then.
You know, everything else has won. Charlie Brooker's got all sorts of awards coming out of his backside.
Is that why he looks so uncomfortable all the time?
Probably. So I think, would I lie to you? Because at the end of the day, it's a fun show. And some of the stuff that they have to try and lie about is hilarious. You know, when they get the guy, get the stranger walking and they have to stand there, and the three of them have to come up with stories.
Yes, with completely straight faces.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think the best one on that one I saw was with Kevin Bridges, where I accidentally bought a horse, and it was true.
Yes. Like, how did you accidentally buy a horse?
I wanted to give him money for something.
Yeah.
And I came back and he wasn't there.
Is this Jack of the Beanstalk or something?
Kind of, yes. Anyway, scripted comedy. The nominations are Chewing Gum, Peter Kay's Car Share, People Just Do Nothing, and Peep Show.
Wait, Peep Show, as in David Mitchell, Robert Webb?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that the one that it came back, didn't it?
Yeah.
So yeah,
that
for
could
a
be a favourite
for
it.
See, I kind of feel like as it got to the end, it should end. I don't think it really needed to come back.
Yeah. Do you want to do the next one?
Depends which one is the next one, because matter of all.
I've got Reality and Constructed Factual.
Yeah, I'll do Reality and Constructed Factual, he said with a...
Because you've done entertainment performance, haven't you?
I have.
Yeah. And you've done entertainment program, so Reality and Constructed Factual.
We have got First Dates, Gogglebox, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, and The Secret Life of 4, 5, and 6-year-olds.
That's
I've just got The Secret Life of 5-year-olds on here.
Yeah, that's what I've got. But The Secret Life... No, The Secret Life...
I'm reading this off BAFTA.org, so... Yeah.
The Secret Life of 4, 5, and 6-year-olds, I can understand. See... If they had Goggle Sprogs and not Goggle Box, I would have gone straight for Goggle Sprogs.
Goggle Sprogs is apparently this year, the first like series of it, not a special. So,
I don't care.
You know, next year.
Goggle Sprogs at Christmas made Christmas. It made Christmas enjoyable, man.
I think putting First Date and Goggle Box on the same nomination is really, that's really tight, that. Although I think, wasn't it I'm a Celebrity that won it last year?
I'm a Celebrity just keeps winning because bloody Anton Deck.
Yeah.
First Date should win because I thought that's unique and I thought that is funny. Especially the one a few weeks ago where she was on it with her mum.
Yeah, my sister's a big fan of First Dates.
So, right, okay, moving on then from there to, where are we? Factual series. And we've got The Detectives, Great Ormond Street, The Murder Detectives, and The Tribe.
Very detective-y, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's very detective-y. They've got, like, Specialist Factual as well, which I didn't quite understand. Britain's Forgotten Slave Owners, Grayson Perry's Dream House, The Hunt, and Rudolf Nureyev, Dance to Freedom.
What's the difference?
That's why I said I don't quite understand. You got Factual and Specialist Factual. Surely they're all factual.
Specialist just sounds a bit... We don't know where to put this.
I could make all sorts of comments there. I'm not going to.
Anyway, moving on. Features. We have got Back in Time for Dinner, Great British Bake Off, of course.
Yes.
Kevin MacLeod Escaped the Wild, and Travel Man.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was Bake Off.
Yeah, I can see it being Bake Off just because it dominates everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. International, you've got The Good Wife. Is that still going?
I think it's on its last series now.
Narcos.
Okay, yeah.
Spiral and Transparent.
I do like Spiral.
Narcos apparently has had rave reviews.
Mm.
So I've heard. I'll have to get into that at some point.
What is it with...
stuff. People. Actors.
It was a certain kind of people.
Scum.
Critics, that's what. Yes. That's just like scum, critics. Okay, that yeah. Thanks for the help, Rob. But yeah, what is it with critics and drug related shows? Because we went from Breaking Bad, now we've got Narcos.
I don't know.
It's all the cool kids do drugs, Owen.
and just trying to think how I'm going to dig myself out of that hole.
I think I pushed you into it. I think we're both in it together.
Andy, oh, quick, no. We'll save ourselves. We'll bury them in there.
Anyway.
It'll be only yours on the show next time when we're talking about the results.
No. Do you want to do soap and continuing drama?
Do I ever?
A soapy continuing drama.
Is this so we could wash ourselves of what just happened?
Yes.
There's me suds. Okay, so we have got Coronation Street.
Yay.
EastEnders.
Yay.
Emmerdale.
Yay.
And Holby City.
Eh?
I forgot, no, with Emmerdale, it should be Mark.
So, guys, what's your favourite soap operas?
Oh, I've lost.
It's that strange Brazilian one where the evil twin comes home and he's trying to kill everybody, but then the good twin doesn't want him to kill everybody, but then the evil twin tries to kill the good twin, but then the good twin saves the evil twin by standing in front of a bullet for him. The evil twin holds the good twin in his arms and the good twin dies. The evil twin takes his place as the good twin until the next evil twin appears.
Is that not Captain America?
I said Brazilian.
Because it just sounds like to me Steve Rogers and Bucky.
What, you Steve Rogers and Bucky?
Steve Rogers the good twin, Bucky the bad twin, the evil twin.
So Bucky takes over from Steve Rogers and you're the new evil twin.
Dun, dun, dun.
Now we know what all the rugby training is for. Anyway, single documentary. Bitter Lake, Life After Suicide.
What?
I've seen that documentary. It's called RIPD. It wasn't very good.
Yeah. Louis Theroux, Transgender Kids, and My Son the Jihadi. Interesting selection there. And, yeah. Single drama. Single drama's an interesting one.
Ooh, let's take a look, see. Bit I've lost the mouse. There's the mouse, I found it again. Okay, so we have The C Word, Cyberbully, Don't Take My Baby, and The Go-Between.
Yep.
The C Word, that was Sheridan Smith, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
That was supposed to be quite powerful.
Cyberbully was really good, though, because that was just Maisie Williams in a room.
Yeah, that one was really good.
And it's literally just her in a room and just slowly going a little bit mad. I thought, okay, she can actually act.
Wow, this is...
No, she was actually really good at it. And it's just with Game of Thrones and with her being, with her being whatever she is in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Blind, I believe it is now.
Let's not forget Doctor Who as well, if you want to count that.
No, we don't.
Okay.
Although she did get rid of the one who annoyed me the most in Doctor Who, which was fine by me. She didn't. She just contributed, but it was kind of natural selection.
She helped at least.
Yeah. It was more natural selection at work.
To be fair,
finds a way.
I still reckon there could be a spin-off.
So wait, so Jeff Goldblum killed her?
No, because Jeff Goldblum is like this strange cosmic entity. You know, at the end of the universe where, you know, there's the pillars of Goldblum and, you know, they're sitting at the center of all things on the throne of enlightenment is the ultimate Goldblum. And, you know, he will whisper the words of mantra, nature will find a way. Nature always does.
So that's all we have time for today.
Yes. Anyway. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. We've gone through all of it.
And you cannot also say as well.
Well, most of it. We haven't done current affairs and news coverage, seriously.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I know they always have it. But you have to say as well, the special award that they always hand out, comedian, actor and writer Lenny Henry will be presented with the award in honour of Alan Clark.
Well, why is Lenny Henry getting the award for Alan Clark? And, oh, actually that makes sense now because, I wonder, because BFI, the British Film Institute, was releasing all sorts of stuff about Alan Clark, and now Alan Clark's getting the special award.
A coincidence.
It might be in honour of Alan, like the award might be named. That's what it might mean.
Oh, the Alan Clark Award?
It's
possibly, yeah.
Oh,
in honour.
Possibly,
it's presented to Lenny in recognition of Outstanding Creative Contribution to television.
Well, yeah, I agree with that. I think it's kind of past time. He should have had it a couple of years ago, maybe. Mm. And what, aside from the successful comedy that he did during the 80s and the 90s,
don't forget
the set up Comic Relief, which is an enduring thing.
Mm. And don't forget recently as well, we'll just call them the Extremely Good Hotels.
Yeah, he does the adverts, but don't forget he was in that drama comedy series, the one about the lottery winners.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and he was really good in that.
Yeah, yeah. I can't remember what the character had wrong with him, but it was some sort of mental issue. But yeah, he was very good. Definitely deserves an award.
Just want to mention a couple of quick awards before we finish. The first one is the live event. They have Big Blue Live, The Sound of Music Live, Stargazing Live, Britain Space Tim Peake Special, and The Vote.
What, The Vote as in?
Yeah, The Vote as in More 4 covering The Vote. Sound of Music Live was on ITV and the other two were BBC. So yeah, officially Channel 4's coverage of the election was apparently better than anyone else's.
Clutching it.
Yay.
Go do usually have Jimmy Carr taking the mick out of the election.
Sport, you had the Ashes from Sky Sports, the Grand National on Channel 4, Six Nations Final Day on BBC One, and Match of the Day Live FA Cup Final, BBC One, which confused me because I was thinking, hang on, the FA Cup hasn't happened yet. They haven't done the final yet. How do you, what's going on?
Because obviously they can predict the future.
How can you?
Because it says Aston Villa, you know, when Arsenal beat Aston Villa 4-0 at Wembley, I'm thinking, are they still in? I thought they both got knocked out.
But I think these awards for Spartan events and things like that, it's like it's as good as the event is. You can't give an award for the coverage, can you? If the event is terrible, maybe. You know.
Well, yeah, kind of. I mean,
if the event had like 17 goals and things, you're gonna.
Yeah, well, it was 4-0. It was 4-0. Obviously, it's it's quite a spectacular score for an FA Cup final. But if it was 0-0 after full time and after extra time, and they went to penalties, would they still get nominated? Would the coverage still get nominated? That's a very good point.
It is. I'm thinking probably not.
Well, it'd be a boring match. I mean, even Jonathan Pearce would have difficulty finding something to scream about in there.
Well, unless you got nominated because you somehow managed to find a way to make that boring match really exciting.
You mean like they do in Simpsons?
I don't know.
The difference in there was a Simpsons episode where you had the two different commentary on a game of football, and you have the American ones going, passes it, holds it, holds it, holds it. Then you got the South American one going, he passes it, he holds it, he holds it, he holds it.
Yes. I think I remember that one. I think I remember that.
So, yeah, it's all about the commentary for some people. Anyway, so I believe we're at the end of the show.
Yes, we are.
Look, that caught you by surprise.
So I was thrown off by sport.
You're really enjoying talking about sport there.
Of course. I love the sports ball.
Yes.
Go team, win the points.
Yes. But I'm not disagreeing.
No, that's true.
I like sports.
I play a sport.
You are a sport.
Bloody good sport.
Let's all join in a game of Owen. Okay, right. We are at the end of the show. So we're going to leave you for another week. Next week, we'll watch more stuff and Andy will hopefully have watched something.
Yes.
So, yeah, we're going to leave you until then. I have been Rob.
I've been Andrew.
I've been Andy.
I've been Owen.
See you all next week.
And thanks for listening.